Once again, I am joined by Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB. It's time for our weekly catch-up, looking at what's been happening with the charity. And you're just back from holiday, Matt, so was it in at the deep end after a nice break?
Yeah, a nice week in Turkey, actually, which we went to sort of last minute to find a country that there was little risk of quarantine coming home, which we managed to do. So, yeah, it was a nice break, Alan, thank you. And back to the grey clouds and rain of England at the end of August, but yeah.
Now, we've obviously talked a lot about the sort of customer focus, what our customers have been telling us is important to them, the sort of big issues. There was always a kind of top five. Any changes in that or anything new cropping up that people are worried about or concerned about?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, Alan. You know, we've seen a gradual shift over the last few months through sort of lockdown and lockdown release. You know, well, I think one thing is the RNIB, we have done quite well through coronavirus and learned a lot, actually, is around getting this sort of real-time customer insight and having it drive our activity, you know, and being able to respond quite nimbly to what people are telling us, you know, and whether that's in terms of orientating our services or whether it's, you know, putting our campaigning effort into certain places. Take this week, you know, the top five areas now that people are talking to us about would be around benefits entitlement, around registration. There is some local queries around our services. They want to talk about products and equipment and technology. And that would have been a very different set of issues from, say, 4 or 5 months ago, where it would have been, you know, access to food, access to information, wanting to know how they could stay sort of connected, you know, and deal with feelings of isolation. So, you know, you can see how the thing has shifted in time. And I mean, just to maybe expand on one of those, technology, this shows about, I think, again, a learning for all of us through lockdown has been just how important and enabling technology is both for us as an organization and clearly for individuals who are much more reliant on it when your other avenues of contact close down. So people are wanting to talk to us about, for example, apps around train travel in the UK. As people start to sort of move about now, they're looking at sort of Google Maps, Move It, Bus Checker. They want to look at sort of what Amazon and Apple are doing in terms of adding accessibility features to various services and sort of apps.
Interesting that the technology point there and just some of the names, you know, Amazon and Apple, that partnerships as well, hugely important for RNIB to develop, but they seem to be getting more and more the idea that accessibility is something which should be built in from the drawing board now, not an afterthought for a lot of technology companies.
I think Apple, you know, through the iPhone, the iPad, have been at the forefront of making sure technological developments have had accessibility sort of built in. You know, and I think you find a lot of blind and partially sighted people very reliant on a sort of Apple infrastructure to provide contact and support and provide their sort of broader technological solutions. But companies now are realizing that for sighted people as well as blind and partially sighted people, you know, a lot of the functionality is very relevant. I mean, we're moving to a world where voice is becoming much more important. And I think, Alan, you and I have had chats before about Alexa and some of these sort of technologies whereby you can talk to a device and it does various things for you. And clearly that's a mainstream development, which has, you know, particular applicability for blind and partially sighted people, but as, you know, sort of common applicability for everybody, because, you know, you can do things by talking at devices, which you've never done before. I mean, we've also just, for example, and again, you can find this on our website, he says, with a shameless plug for our retail arm, but we just developed a very accessible washing machine with Miele, which is now for sale again, which has a ton of functionality there that makes it very, very accessible for blind and partially sighted people to use. And I know some of my colleagues in the organization already putting their orders in for that washing machine, because I think it is genuinely groundbreaking in terms of, you know, technology which is accessible in a sort of non-traditional way. You know, you can talk at Alexa and get your music up, but actually here we are able to do things with the washing machine, you know, which is sort of breaking new ground.
Yes, it's just taken away my excuse now to my wife to say, no, I can't use a washing machine, so I can't do the washing.
You can do the ironing, Alan. How about that?
Let's take a look at RNIB then. Again, moving as we have been through lockdown and opening up of different phases, and there's more of a drive now to look at how do we get perhaps offices opened or staff with a different kind of work environment?
So like most organisations, you enter sort of lockdown in March, April, and there's a real sense of, you know, how are we going to manage this? And so like every organisation, I think you get quite short-termist. You know, you're very much focused on managing the here and now. very strong focus on managing your sort of liquidity and cash position to make sure you can get the organization through what looks like an uncertain time. And that was a real focus for the first 2 or 3 months. I think, you know, the confidence now going into the second half of the year and kids going back to school, students going back to university, probably more people starting to go back into office locations as well. For us, you know, we will be opening up some of our office space in a very managed and safe way. Not a big deluge, you know, coming back straight away, but just giving people the chance to come and use physical office locations in, as I say, in a very controlled way and absolutely abiding by all our governmental guidance on health and safety, you know, and hygiene. And I think the organisation, as I say, moving from a mindset where we've been managing quite tactically, moving into one where we need to get our head up a bit and look a bit more strategically forwards with the confidence that, you know, we know we're going to get through this in good order. And able to retain some of the really positive learnings from coronavirus, as we said on this interview already, you know, customer insight, ability to respond quickly, carrying on to exploit those very strong relationships we've built with sort of government and with certain businesses and other organisations, you know, working again much more positively across the sector with other visually impaired sort of charities and organisations, because we've realised, you know, that the whole is greater than some of the parts.
And we will, of course, follow the developments as RIB opens back up again over the coming months. We are going to finish off, Matt, with, as we normally do, a look at fundraising. And we have no shame whatsoever in highlighting the Marathon Mates and indeed the Big Jump, which is coming up in September as well, because they are, at the end of the day, you know, double underline the word vital.
No, they are. And as I said a few times on this interview, you know, managing the sort of tactical, you know, keep making sure we can get the organisation through what was an uncertain period, you know, has been massive importance, and critical to that is funding, making sure we've got the money coming in. So, you know, we saw a fall off in the first half of the year because we couldn't do face-to-face activities and there was some slowdown in our legacy incomes. You know, the good news is, you know, we've weathered that pressure in the first half of the year in sort of reasonable state. And as you say, you know, there's more opportunity now going forwards for some more traditional sort of fundraising activity to come back. So, absolutely. We've got the Marathon Mates, two of you pairing up, running 26 miles in September. Please do sign up. You have the month of September to achieve the distance, so plenty of time to do it. No other things now can happen because, you know, social distancing allows people to come together. So we've got the Big Jump, I think, on September the 19th, and lots of people have enjoyed and raised funds for us. And I know you featured some people on your recent programs. And one interesting thing as well, just to add to that, is, you know, where we've had a real clampdown and a total lack of ability to do things like, you know, some of our sort of legacy activities where we talk to people about thinking about the RNIB and leaving a legacy. You know, clearly we haven't been able to run those events. Well, the good news is, you know, we're now going to run about half a dozen of those events through the autumn, you know, in October and November, you know, where you can get people together in a sort of safe, socially distanced way, abiding by all guidelines. And we have some strong hopes of getting those activities back up and running as well in the autumn, which is all, again, the point about the organisation sort of emerging from lockdown and getting back into sort of some normal activity and normal cycles. But in the meantime, please do sign up to Marathon Mates. I know you and I are doing it, and it will be great to get as many people as possible having a bit of fun with a virtual partner through September.
We are, absolutely. I'm actually quite looking forward to it, I have to say. And if you'd like to get more information from RNIB, whether it's the shop, the fundraising or the campaigns, to go to rnib.org.uk, and the helpline is there on 0303 123 9999. Matt, great to speak to you once again, and we'll catch up again next week.
Thanks very much, Alan. Nice to speak to you.